that music. It's from the Philharmonic Orchestra and God Created. We're going to talk a bit about God's creation of man and woman tonight. Let's turn this music all the way down. You're listening to BBS Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour of Sound Health. We have a very important topic to share with you. Verbally abusive relationships, how to recognize verbal abuse and how to respond. We're going to be talking to Patricia Evans, the author of a very important publication, but we have a few announcements. Won't take but a few minutes here. On this show, Sound Health, we attempt to bring you information and ideas in support of self-health. We like that idea, the self-health, and we are doing a campaign called The Body Green, about the body's ability to identify what it needs and to supply that if you ever can find out what it really is. You know, some people don't know. They live with things in their lives that they just kind of tolerate, and they don't know what to do about it. As most of you know, we're sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. At that research center, we use vocal profiling as a personality and health status screening. We can take a sample of your voice, and from that information, we can tell a great deal about you, from the frequencies, the architecture, and really sometimes from what's missing from your voice. We really want you to know what's going on with you without all the oughts and shoulds in your life. And we think this is a great idea, and we want everyone to have the ability to do this. So we are giving away a computer program that will analyze your voice and give you a printout about yourself with 6 quick clicks of your computer mouse. And most people say, what is this? Not believing? Are you giving away valuable software? Why? What's wrong with it? What's the catch? Well, there really isn't any catch. We discovered this, and we think it's just too valuable not to provide to people. You know, The Secret was a great movie about you can have what you want in your life, but they really didn't tell you how to find out deep down what you really want. So for this software, we're not even going to ask you your name or your email address, nothing. Just go to nano voice.org. The software downloads in about 2 minutes, depending on your download speed, and you can be ready to go with it put into your computer, what do you call that, installed into your computer in less than 20 minutes, and you're ready to find out who you really are and what you really want with all the pressure. So far, there's been about 11,000 downloads, and the last time I checked on Google, there was over 4 million hits there about NanoVoice. I just think that's absolutely incredible. We're going to bring up some of that tonight as we talk to our guest, Patricia Evans. She's brought awareness to people from all walks of life in presentations throughout the U.S. I'm reading this from her bio that I think is great. In the U.S., Canada, and Europe, with standing room only crowds, she brings clarity to interpersonal communication issues. She's been on hundreds of radio shows, and we're going to talk to her about this very idea of getting to know what you really want, who you really are. She shared her information on Oprah, CNN, News Talk, Sally Jesse Raphael, CNET, CNBC, American, Talk Women, iVillage, Fox News, you name it. She's probably been on it, and she's all over the world teaching people how to look at these abusive relations, how to identify them. The more I read about her in preparation for the show, the more I was impressed. And I found an intro, because I always hunt for reviews, because somebody, if there's a bad review or a good one, somebody's going to put it up on the Internet. And I found one that is incredible. And you'll understand the topic of this book, Verbal Abusive Relationships, right after I read this short little intro. Well, it's actually a review that I found on Amazon. And it just so perfectly points out what this book is about. Although I have to admit, I haven't read it. We didn't get a preview copy. I did order it, but I haven't read it yet. So this is a review from somebody who wanted to remain anonymous. For almost 15 years of being married to an angry addict, as described in this book, I went to my doctor begging for a prescription of Prozac. After careful and wise probing, she gave me the prescription, but also strongly suggested I read this book. I read it on Monday. I filed for divorce on Friday. Finally, after years of trying everything, I understood why I was exhausted, hopeless, and no closer to a solution than the day I got married. This book helped me realize it wasn't all my fault. I could never be perfect enough to stop the verbal rages. He would have to be willing to seek counseling or therapy in order for the verbal abuse to stop, which he consistently refused to do. And most importantly, it let me know that the verbal abuse really was doing serious, long-term damage to me as a person. I always thought if he would just hit me, then I could leave. I've learned that that he had been hitting me, so to speak, for years. If you even think you might be in a verbally abusive relationship, and it's not always obvious if you're in the middle of it, I highly recommend you read this book. I finally have a peaceful, content life, due in part to the courage and understanding that I gained from reading. And she's talking about the verbally abusive relationship by Patricia Evans. And I didn't have to use the Prozac prescription. Patricia Evans.
Hello.
This is wonderful stuff. Thank you for joining us on this show.
It's my pleasure. You know, I do so much love to bring awareness to people so they can make decisions. Something very important you pointed out is people don't always know what they really, really want. And some of this is because part of life is learning to know ourselves and to know what we really want in life, and we learn through experience and so forth. But part of the problem is that we can be brainwashed into not knowing ourselves. And this, what I call brainwashing, is just another word for verbal abuse. And one of the things that I'd like the listeners to really, really take in and understand is that there is verbal abuse that is name-calling and filled with rage and anger. That's for sure. That's what most people understand as verbal abuse: cussing, swearing, name-calling, you know, that sort of thing. But there's, like, that's 1/12 of the, or of, say, 12 main categories of verbal abuse. There's 11 others. And these are things like discounting, trivializing, judging, accusing, blaming, and that type of thing. So it can be kind of complicated. A person might say, let's see, I didn't feel very good when I heard this from my friend or my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I felt kind of bad about that when mom or dad said this. But is that verbal abuse? So there's a very simple way to look at some of the things that you may have been hearing to see if it is abusive. If it's abusive, it's telling you something about yourself that only you could know, as if the other person knew what you were, what you thought, what you felt. And let me give you an example, because once you understand this, you will be able to easily see whether what you're hearing is okay, it's just a comment, or whether it has an abusive quality to it, or whether if it's consistently going on and the other person isn't apologizing when you point it out, are you in a verbally abusive relationship? Anybody might say something that's defining the other person, judging them or accusing them, without really thinking. But if you say, hey, you know, please don't tell me what I am or what I'm doing or something, you're not me, you know, I don't want to hear that, then they say, oh, sorry. Well, then you're not in an abusive relationship. The other person just was being cranky or not thinking or acting in a very unconscious way. Now, I want to give you a very simple example. If someone is telling you what you are, they may be saying you are too sensitive, stupid, crazy, a jerk, an idiot, on and on. So they're saying, you're this, you are this, you're that, as if they lived within you and knew what you were. or someone may be telling you what you want. You want to be right. You want to start a fight. You want to win. Well, most of the time an abuser is saying that to a victim. And when they're saying that, the person they're saying that to has been walking on eggshells, trying not to make the other one angry, trying to keep the peace, or trying to find out what they said or did that upset the other one. Why is this person yelling at me? Why is this person accusing me? Why is this person telling me I'm doing everything wrong or I'll never amount to anything? Why is this person doing this? Maybe I said something to upset them. And then I'll be careful. That's called walking on eggshells. And so if you hear someone telling you what you are, too sensitive, crazy, stupid, and on and on and on and on, there's words we can't even say on the radio, then you know you're being verbally abused. If someone's telling you what you want, you want to be right, you want to do this. If someone's telling you what you think you know it all, you think you're so smart. They're saying, I live within you, I know what you think. So when you and I right now think about verbal abuse, what we're really thinking about is one person invading another person's body, mind, soul, and stepping into their psyche, so to speak. And the person who hears it, when they hear something like, you're trying to start a fight, you just want to be right, you're ruining everything, it's to them, it's the opposite of everything they ever wanted in their life. They're trying desperately to have this relationship work. They're trying to be very kind. They're trying to explain to the other person what bothers them. They're trying to share their feelings. And instead, they're hearing these assaults that slam into their psyche. So it's very important to know the outcome of verbal abuse. When you hear words that slam into your consciousness like a sledgehammer, that tell you the opposite of the truth about you. The truth, let's just for an example say the truth is you want your relationship to be happy and to work. Right? Okay, if that's what you want and someone's saying you want to be right, you want to start a fight, they're coming at your mind with a great assault. If that's happening, then you are feeling alone, you may be feeling like your relationship is over, and in fact, it doesn't exist at that moment because the other person can't really see you and can't really hear you. Is this making sense, do you think? What about you? Does this make sense to you?
This is wonderful. I want to know more about these 12 categories. You said discounting, blaming, accusing. In your book, do you give examples of this? Explain
yeah.
it and show
the book
people?
Is features. Yeah, this book, this is the first book. It's been a bestseller, and you can find it on verbalabuse.com, Amazon, any bookstore in the U.S., Canada, England, and in many other languages, too. You can find the French version, especially in Canada, where it was published, and in German and Polish and all over the world. But in America, it's called The Verbally Abusive Relationship. And so
Amazon gives it 4.5 stars.
Well, yeah, there is a few people who hear this. I'm sorry, there's a little noise in the background. There's a few people who hear this, and I'm going to move that off. And when they read this book and they have read it, they look it up because their partner has said, I'm leaving, you're being verbally abusive. So they look it up and they read it, and they say, this is a terrible book. It made my partner leave me, and which is very irrational. So when somebody does that, when they will post on Amazon, this is the worst book in the world. And so then there will be like 100 to 1 saying, this book saved my life. I know I'm not crazy. I know I'm not what I'm being told. But the book itself lists the categories of verbal abuse and shows examples of every single category. So people can make it, it's pretty simple. They can either approach it from the standpoint of what is this judging, accusing, blaming, trivializing, discounting, and they can look at examples. Or they can just say to themselves, is this person telling me what I am and what I think and what I feel and what I want and what I'm doing? Wow, is this what's happening? So this is, if this is happening, then something's going on, you know, that I've got to really look at. It's very hard to face the fact one's in a verbally abusive relationship. So one of the things one can do is ask themselves, does the other person seem irritated and angry with me several times a week? And do they always say, I'm not angry, when they're yelling at you? And if you try to discuss your feelings of pain and distress and say, you know, I felt really bad when you were slamming the doors and yelling, or when you were telling me that I was an ugly, you know, nasty word thing, and they just say, I never said that, I don't know what you're talking about, and you start to feel crazy, that's called crazy making. So there's these different outcomes. And if you keep thinking, gee, I feel bad, but I shouldn't feel so bad, everybody tells me I'm lucky, you have to know that there's some patterns about this, that nobody else sees it. Usually no one sees it. Sometimes a child will see it. Sometimes someone else will see it. But most of the time, nobody sees this. Nobody knows it's happening. Neighbors and friends will say, wow, you're so lucky. This is a great relationship you're in. And this can be happening to a woman. It happens to the vast majority of people in abusive relationships who are being victimized are women, but it can also happen to men. And so they can feel like they're going crazy too, and they keep trying to find out what's wrong. Honey, what's wrong? Will you tell me what's wrong? I don't know. There's nothing wrong, you know. But then, like, if they're like 1 minute late, you know, they can be yelled at, you know, and they begin to feel like they're walking on eggshells too. So it's a very important thing to know. I think it's the cause of most. I think that verbally abusive relationships are behind most of the divorces that go on, though there can be divorces for other things. Somebody could be addicted to gambling, using up all the money, or not come home anymore because they're drinking, you know. But mostly verbal abuse is a cause. And another thing that's very important for every listener to know is that when women are in battering relationships, if they read about the verbally abusive relationship, they don't go back to the batterer. It's the only way for many women to be able to see what's happening to them. In other words, if they realize there's this whole other pattern of where they're being victimized, they can see that the battering is just a small part of it. And I also think that it would be really great to take a minute here to explain to people why, on the average, battered women go back 7 times. Now, I don't know if everyone realizes that statistic is there. 6 or 7 times is on the average. And lots of times people say, well, why would anybody go back? I mean, after you got beat up like that. And that's big news right now. Isn't there somebody who is a rather famous person who got beaten up? And do you all remember seeing that in the news?
Yeah, a singer or something.
I think it was Brianna, maybe a name like that. I'm sorry, I'm not up on the latest celebrities. But this was I did see a shot. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. Just a beautiful, beautiful woman. Then I saw a shot of her all beat up face, and that, of course, was very, very disturbing. And then there was a lot of news that she had accepted back her boyfriend, you know, and there was even a rumor that maybe they were getting married. I don't know if that happened or not. But in any case, the reason that she took him back is when he apologized, a batterer will say or do anything to get back their partner. Most of the time they will say or do anything. And so the problem is that battering takes place because the abuser, the batterer, or the verbal abuser has a projection from their own unconscious going into their mate. Now that's getting a little bit deeper into the psychology of things, but if you could just imagine that this man has a side to himself that he didn't get to really develop, that's full of warmth and nurturing qualities, that's receptive, that's kind, that's gentle, that has feelings, that is intuitive, that he has an emotional, intuitive, himself that never really developed, and he has qualities he wasn't allowed to develop, like warmth and receptivity. Maybe he heard his mother yelled at and he said, I'm not going to be like a woman or a girl or anybody. I'm not going to be receptive of anything. I'm going to be aggressive instead. So these qualities and all these aspects of himself end up in his unconscious. And so you might think of that as a whole big group or a cluster of qualities, almost like a separate self. We could call it his feminine side. And if he projects that into his partner, then when that projection takes place, then from that moment on, he can't really see her or hear her. If she doesn't walk, talk, act like that projection, he feels attacked because he can't find the rest of himself, the part of himself that's projected into her. But the other weird thing about this is it's very unconscious. He doesn't really know there's a projection going on. He just knows that if she's not saying what he'd like her to be saying at the moment, he feels irritated or angry. And he doesn't even always know why. And so if she starts to complain to him, she's certainly not acting like his dream woman, his projection. So he may get really angry and beat her up. And that's what happens in the battering cases. Now, there are lots and lots of cases where there's a lot of verbal abuse going on, but no battering. And there's a lot of verbally abusive relationships where there's nothing very overt going on. Nobody is calling their partner horrible names, but they are telling them what to think. They're countering every thought they have. They're telling them what they know, what they're doing, what they should do, what they have to do, what they feel, what they want, what they're trying to do, their very motive. All the time. You don't want that. You think that. You're just trying to do this. You're trying to have to win. You're trying to have a start a fight, you know, and on and on and on. And it's like a brainwashing going on 24/7. And those relationships leave the partner, the victim, feeling completely frustrated, confused, certain that there's something wrong in their relationship, unable to say what it is. Unable to define it. It just doesn't make sense, but they think, what is wrong here? Something's wrong. I don't know what it is. So I get thousands of calls over the years and contacts and letters and emails, thousands and thousands and thousands from people who say, now I know it was wrong. This saved my life. This knowledge saved my life. And they share it with other people, which is why a book that was written in 92 is still a bestseller. And a lot of women will go out and buy four or five more and pass them around to their friends and say, this is what it was happening to me. This is what I was talking about. So I could mention for you here some of the, and most women, many, many, many have written to me saying, or called up saying, you must have been in my house. You must have been in my house. How could you know that he says this all the time or that all the time? Because, you see, when he can't find the rest of himself, he's likely to say the same thing. There's something wrong with you, you know. And if he doesn't want to hear his partner talk, he'll try to silence her because she doesn't sound like his projected feminine side. So he'll say, there's nothing to talk about, or what do you want me to say? So he just stops all the communication. And so he won't communicate. And he won't ask her about her because he doesn't want to hear anything about the real wife. He wants to stay in this state with his projection, and he doesn't even know about it. But he just can't stand to know about his real partner. He won't ask her how she is, how she's feeling, what her favorite flower is, where she likes to go on vacation, how she would imagine her retirement. Those are called engaging questions. So a lot of times people will ask themselves, have I ever heard an engaging question from my mate? Sure enough, I haven't. Gee, have I been defined by my mate? Yep. He tells me what I am and what I think and what I'm doing all the time. Wow, I might be in a verbally abusive relationship. I better look into this. So if people go on verbalabuse.com, they can go to what's called a little link called Patricia's Books, and they can see there's four books. The first book, the one we're talking about today, is called The Verbally Abusive Relationship, How to Recognize It and How to Respond. And that book is the first literature in human history to even recognize there's such a thing as a verbally abusive relationship. Now people really know it exists, and one hears about it in the news and so forth, and we know that there's thousands of people who have signed up for the bulletin board on that site, and millions of people have bought the books over the years, and, you know, it's well known to be a real thing. But when it first came out, there was nothing written anywhere in any language in any country that said verbally abusive relationship. So nobody knew what was happening to them. They just felt like they were going crazy. And the other person who was saying all the verbal abuse didn't quite realize what they were doing. They just kept feeling irritated and feeling angry, and sometimes they would form confabulations to explain to themselves why they felt so angry. Well, it was the tone of her voice, or she's nagging, and she would know, gee, I only asked him this once in the last year, and it was something he promised to do like 3 years ago, and I don't think that's nagging. But they will make up in their own mind why they're angry, because they really don't understand how they've projected into their partner. So it gets to be quite a problem.
You said this was tied to the divorce rate?
I would say that most people get, I would say that probably at least more than half of the divorces that occur because one person is being verbally abused over time. And the impact, well, first of all, many, many women have called me coming out of hospitals. Many, many women have been asked in battered women's support groups. The bottom line question, which was worse, the physical battering or the verbal abuse? The universal response, once they understand what the verbal abuse is, that they really aren't stupid idiots and all the things they've heard, they'll say the verbal abuse by far, and they will call coming out of getting beaten up and everything and say the verbal abuse is worse than the physical. So the impact of verbal abuse is the erasure of consciousness and mind, because every sentence told to the abuser, the abused victim, that's verbally abusive, every verbally abusive sentence is a lie told to the victim. You're trying to do this, you think that, you thought this, you think you know it all, you mean to do this, this is what you meant, this is what you should do, this is what you got to do, this is how you have to do it, this is, like, I live inside you, I know how you are and what, how to do what you do. I live inside you, I know what you're thinking. I grovel in your soul and I know your very motive. I live inside you and I know what you want. You just want to be right. I live inside you. So it's this bang, 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 conscious, this slamming into consciousness, this kind of psychic rape that goes on over and over and over and over. And so the victim begins to feel like they're going out of their mind or there's something intrinsically wrong with them. So there are some lists, like in the first book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, it lays out some of the examples for each of the main categories of verbal abuse. And
we need to take a little break and give the station phone number so people can call in. I've got four emails already of people who want to ask you questions.
Oh, great. I love to answer questions.
The toll-free number here is 877-876-5227. That's the USA. And in Canada, 888-815-9756. There is a direct line, 530-876-3222. That sounds like a lot of numbers to remember. Just go to BBS, Boy Boy Sam, bbsradio.com. We're on station one tonight. These numbers are right on the front page. Or, as most of our people like, they can write to me at radio@vocalprofileinc.com, and we'll get your question right on the air. You don't have to tell us who you are. We are talking to Patricia Evans. She's written a book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, How to Recognize It and How to Respond. Amazon gave it 4.5 stars. I would give it 10 stars if I could. I just find this an incredible, incredible book. I have a couple of questions. One is just a comment. Mm-hmm. When my husband and I were married 40-some years ago, one of our first arguments or things that just was causing a problem in our relationship is I kept saying to him, don't yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I am not yelling at you. And it was the word. Yelling to him meant raising your voice, and yelling to me meant being critical.
So, okay.
So for us, we had to find our vocabulary.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, this would help. The books would help you define the cat, because criticizing is one of the categories of verbal abuse. So if you were looking at that, at this book, and you thought, let's see, what is he doing? And you got to, let's say, criticizing. Let's see, there's, I'm going to try to find the beginning, accusing, blaming, judging, and criticizing. Sentences which begin with, the trouble with you is, or statements which begin with, your problem is, you know, they're judgmental, critical, abusive, or you statements are judgmental and critical. You this, you that, you cheat, you're never satisfied, you're a lousy winner, you're stupid, you can't take a joke, you're crazy, don't let well enough alone. You know, these are all critical, you know, they're all critical. So, you know, another thing is that if you heard a sentence that says, you're doing that all wrong, you know, you could say, what is these sentences telling me? Is he telling me what I'm doing? Oh, he's telling me what I'm doing. Or he's telling me what I am, or what I think, or what I feel. What is he telling me? And once you know that, you can say to him, hey, you're not me. Don't you ever tell me how to do what I do. I do what I do the way I do it. Or, hey, you're not me. Don't you tell me what I'm thinking. You don't live in my mind. You get out right now. No, I don't want to ever hear you tell me what I'm thinking. Or he may say, you're just trying to start a fight. Say, hey, you're not me. You don't know my motives. You quit groveling in my soul and trying to psychically rape me and tell me what my very motives are. You get out right now. I will have you exercised for me. Don't you ever pretend to live in me and tell me what I am and what I think and what I feel and what my motives are. You stop that right now. But people make a big mistake, because what they'll say is, no, I wasn't trying to start a fight. This is what I was trying to do. So the other person hears it as, you can tell me what I'm trying to do anytime, but in this case, you're wrong. So we have to address what are they doing, not the particular sentence that they're saying. Like they might say, you left that on the floor so I'd trip over it. Oh, no, I didn't. No, just don't tell me why I do what I do. That's what we've got to address, not, you know, the specific thing. I didn't leave that there so you trip on it. I didn't know you would be there and my arms were full and all this big story. They don't hear that anyway. What we have to address is what is the other person doing, whether it's a man or a woman. If this is a constant stream of stuff like this, this is all abuse. It's all abuse because it's constantly invading your psyche. It debilitates energy. The person who hears it gets sick. They usually get chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or just plain exhaustion or any illness related to stress, which is most illnesses. It's a huge stress, and they can suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder as well. It's very traumatizing and very painful because they're constantly assaulted. Now, if someone's saying something to you and they're saying, oh, I didn't say that, it never happened, I often suggest, and that you get a small camcorder, practice taking it out of your pocket very quickly and turning it on so you can draw it in a flash, and put a little nylon cord in it from the hardware store that you tie around your waist and tie on this camcorder and put it in your pocket, get a small good one, and just whip it out and turn it on and say, what'd you say? And just see if the other person's willing to repeat what they said. Usually they'll realize that they don't want anybody in the world to hear it and that it is crazy.
I would think that in a relationship where you had to do that, it's over anyway.
Well, one would think so, but a lot of times people keep hoping that if the other person sees what they're doing or hears what they're doing, you know, they'll stop. But this is, I would say, it's happening in millions and millions of homes in America today, right today. these kind of relationships are going on. And they usually look good to other people. No one sees it because when other people are around, the person who's abusive presents his perfected persona to the world. But when he's alone with his partner, then she's like the rest of him. So he is constantly telling her what she is and thinks and does because of this projection. So,
you know, there was something you said a minute ago about this guy will say or do anything to get their partner back. Do they really mean it? How do we respond to that?
Well, when they say it, they, like, let's take this case of this famous beautiful woman who was battered, and then her boyfriend said all these wonderful things to her. When she left immediately, then he would withdraw his projection, and once again he'd see her through the vision of everything he ever wanted, the rest of himself. So when he would talk to her, he would say, I love you, I'll never hit you again, and he would mean it with all his heart and soul at the moment. And she would, her intuition would say, he really means it, he's never going to do this again, and I'll get back the love I lost. This is wonderful. So she goes back to him, but then his unconscious says, this body has chosen me now. It's a safe harbor for Dream Woman. That's the name I'm giving his projection, you know. And so he projects his feminine side back into her. She's now the rest of him. And they two are one in his mind. And he doesn't even know he's done this. It's unconscious. And so she says something that doesn't match Dream Woman, and he's angry. Here's an example of how this can happen. A man called me, and he said he'd read my third book, Controlling People. This shows people why this happens. This explains the whole Dream Woman thing. And so he says, I just read Controlling People, and now I know why I threw my wife to the floor. I said, really? Tell me about it. He said, yeah. He said, well, here's the thing. I got home a little earlier than her, and I love to cook, so I have a bunch of burners going. And she came in and said hi, and I said hi, and she stopped to look down at the table at the mail and started to flip through to see if there was anything for her. But he said, I went into a rage. I ran over and just grabbed her and threw her down because my Dream Woman, I realized now, was going to come over and say, I'll help you. If you need any help with the cooking, I'll help you with the cooking. And instead, she's looking at the mail. Well, what he felt, as he understood it from the book, was like he was split in half. He lost half of himself. Where did the rest of him go? His unconscious is screaming. It's lost that projected self that was projected into her. She's no longer coming over doing what this projection would do. She's standing there looking at the mail. He feels split in two, so he's, you know, in a rage. When I believe that the reason that OJ killed Nicole was because she said, no, you can't have dinner with me. Because would any rational man ask a woman that he'd stalked and that had divorced him and that was afraid of him, that he'd beaten up, would any rational man say, I'll join you and your family for dinner? No, only OJ, who was saying this to his projected self, who would say yes. But when she said no, and he heard that through someone standing there who put it in the court record, someone standing there who said, this is what happened. And so he was able to go, let's see, what did Mary Jane hear Nicole say? I don't know who this, remember the name of the woman. What did she hear Nicole say? Oh, she heard Nicole say no. So then his psyche is screaming, who's this standing here saying no to me? Where did the rest of me go? I'm being split in half. I'm being killed. I'll kill her back. That's the scenario that is common to these types of situations, and I think that's probably exactly why it happened in OJ's case, because it's in the court record that she said no. And
I have a dozen questions.
Good, I want to hear them.
How many times do we forgive, and when's it time to get out?
Well, I think that, first of all, forgiveness is between God and the person, so I wouldn't say it was up to me to forgive him. If you mean carry resentment, I think that when we realize he's crazy, we stop carrying. We no longer so much resent him as we pity him. I think that if we hold up a camcorder or get the house wired or put this on DVDs and send them to him and his friends, he may wake up and say, oh my gosh, I have said all these abusive things, you know, and want to change. Maybe when he realizes that as long as he's pretending to be his partner, telling her what she is and what she thinks and what she feels as if he were her, a woman, that she doesn't really want to have any relationship with someone who acts like a woman, pretends he is a woman, pretends he is her, and pretends to know what she's thinking and feeling as if he were her, a woman. And so I think as consciousness increases and people become aware, then there can be some shift in the world. I don't think that a woman needs to worry about forgiving him. I think she might just become aware of what's wrong with him and decide she doesn't need it in her life. However, if she has children, she might do well to wait till they're 18. The reason is that many thousands of women in the United States have lost their children. Here's a case in point. 3 or 4 weeks ago, a woman called. She was terrified and wouldn't even tell me her name. And she had, her neck had been broken by her battering husband. She'd been holding her two-year-old. She was recovered. She was able to walk and everything. But she went to the pediatrician with her child when he was about 2 and a half and said he's still having nightmares and so forth. I was holding him when my husband did this rage and broke my neck and all. And so the pediatrician told her what to do, but he was still abusive, so she filed for divorce. And he called the pediatrician into court. His attorney did, and his attorney said, did she tell you that he was abusive in front of their son? And the pediatrician said, yeah. And she was still holding him, you know, he was 2 and a half then. And then the attorney said, well, that's parental alienation syndrome. She's trying to alienate this little boy from his father. And then the judge the next day gave the verdict that she was not to see or be able to talk on the phone to her son for a year. She'll probably never have any visitation with this child alone. And this is the child she was trying to protect. This has happened in the state of California. This is a very, very common thing throughout the United States. Thousands and thousands of women have lost their children because one abuser made up one thing, and he was a psychologist or therapist, which many people have to escape from. Doesn't matter what they are. They can be abusive if they want to be. And he made up a thing called parental alienation syndrome, and it's out on the Internet, and all these people are using it so that if the mother says, I'm sorry Daddy hit you, or I'm sorry you had to see Daddy hit me, they will say you're alienating the child. And so this woman said this one sentence. She said, this was my big mistake. I lost my son. And to a sociopath, virtually. And so many, many children are taken from their mothers and are free. And occasionally this can happen to a father. The children, I know one father, okay, and his children will cry until his T-shirt is wet, saying, we don't want to go back to Mommy. Mommy is quite an abuser. And as a terrifying person. But most of the time, the children have to go back to and stay with the father at least half the time, sometimes more, and very often they're terrified to do that. And some have put on, made videos after they're 18 explaining what happened to them, that the father, that was on public television in one airing, and then they were getting sued, so they took off the airing. But it is a real thing.
We are running out of time. I want you to answer
mm-hmm.
some of the caller's questions.
Sure,
here.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is one from Penny, and it's really long. I'm going to try to shorten it here.
Mm-hmm.
I love my husband with all my being, but it seems he doesn't love me. He's been carrying on nearly a 4-year affair, all the while professing to love me. Now there's a new baby involved. When I found out, I divorced him so that he could be free to marry her, because that's what I thought he wanted. He comes back to me and professes his love. But how can he love me and do this? I'm torn. I would take him back in a heartbeat, but I know that sounds crazy. This is not his first affair, but the first baby that I know of that he's having with another woman. What do I tell my children? He tells them that he loves me and that he would not ever want to leave them and that I don't want him anymore. With the teenagers, he tells them that he would never have an affair, but everyone in town knows this, including them. He had his head in the sand. He and the new woman even put an announcement in the paper about the new baby and thought I wouldn't find out. My church says I should stick with him no matter what, and I would if he'd just stop running around lying and stop putting everyone else first. I'm incredibly torn up inside. I don't know what to feel, how to act, what to say, who to trust. Mm-hmm. My friends all hate him, but I just can't seem to let go, even with their support. What's wrong with me that I want to continue to torture myself?
Well, every time he says, I really love you, it's like there's a spring of hope within you that is opened up. Plus, it's like a relief. So that relief from all the pain and agony is like a narcotic. It's like a drug. It's just like heaven for a split second. He really loves me. He'll never go back to the other person. But then reality sinks in. So then you're in despair again. Then he gives you this drug of hope, and you feel bliss for a moment. So it's just like you had a shot of cocaine, and you're in heaven for a few minutes, and then it starts, reality sinks in, and it goes on in a cycle. And so I think you really would benefit from being in a support group. Read all four books, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, Verbal Abuse Survivor Speak Out, Controlling People, and The Verbally Abusive Man, Can He Change? He's lying to you all the time. That's verbal abuse itself. But as you read it, you may understand a whole lot more. If you read all four books, and you can get them off of Amazon or through any bookstore. If you have no money, you can get them from the library. It's not that I'm trying to push the books on you. I'm trying to push the information to you. So I would, you know, and then you have to know that you are a beautiful person and that there are men who can love you and appreciate you and not feel like he's the only one, that, you know, that you wouldn't have anyone, that you would be alone. If you can learn to realize that you are truly loved and are lovable and that a man like that is not capable of really loving you if he gives his attention to somebody else. So it's just a lie that he's telling you. He has no capability, and you know, you can gather all the evidence. You can take the get the DNA testing with the baby. You can get the articles from the newspaper. You can put it all together. You can present it to your family and friends, and you can, and the church. Remember, there's millions. There's literally hundreds of churches, and millions of people in various churches, and all different churches can tell you different things. And so I wouldn't go with just what some people in some church tell you, because if you really go back and you read the entire Bible, you won't see any place where Jesus Christ said to you, if your husband is having babies with other people, you have to stay with him. No, the only people who say that are controllers who say, I know the mind of God, and this is God's mind for you. And that's one of the worst ways of manipulating and trying to control another human being, pretending that they're privy to God.
We have questions coming in. We'll never get to them. We're going to have you back if you'll have us. But there's one here from a man, and there's another short one from Liz. Liz says, my husband responds in one of two ways. One, can't you take a joke? Or two, we're just not going to talk about this. How should I respond? Is this in the book?
Yeah, abuse disguised as a joke is in the book. That's what he's doing. He abuses you, and then he says it's just a joke. And then we're not going to talk about it. It's withholding. He's not going to discuss it anymore. And so when he says something abusive to you and says it's just a joke, you have to, if you can do this, you ask, you say, what I would do is I would just get a camcorder, just quit messing around with this. Just get yourself a camcorder. Get donations from friends if you can't afford one. Get yourself a camcorder, hold it up and say, excuse me, what did you say? And he, if he refuses to repeat it, then say, what I heard you say was X, Y, Z. And you say it, and it's on the record, and say, evidently you realized that was abusive or you would have said it again. And you just keep holding it up when he does it and calling him on it. It is abuse. It's just, he just says it's just a joke. Because that's his way of getting out of it.
And while we were talking,
and you have a question from a man there too.
Yes. While we were talking, I went back on Amazon and ordered 5 more copies of your book and the rest of them. I just think it's wonderful what you're bringing to the public. This is from Shepherd. He says, I was watching a TV show the other night. The man was attempting to teach other men how to treat women so that the women would come running. He said to treat them with contempt, control them, and then excite them. When they don't know where they stand, it confuses them, so you can scoop them up like minnows in a school and take your pick. Honestly, this is what some men believe a woman wants. Would you, I have to scroll down here, would you consider writing a book about re-educating men in a way that would preserve their dignity and yet teach them about honoring their partner instead of attempts at domination?
Mm. Well, I would say that the book Controlling People would be as close as I could get to writing that book, and that's pure evil to use and manipulate people. And obviously, to me, in my opinion, the man who's teaching that is a sociopath and a psychopath, and people can read The Psychopath Next Door by another author. I think it's a great book, too. But I really do believe that Controlling People would explain this. I'm hearing from men even in prison saying, now I know why I'm in prison. Controlling People is a first in the world also, and a very important book. But if I wrote a book just for, like, how to be nice and kind to women and gain their approval, and you can't get a publisher to publish a book that men aren't going to read, and they usually aren't going to read that. But women, if women are educated and these men find that no woman will speak to them, then that will change their behavior faster than anything. So the biggest thing we need to do is we need to educate girls from the time they're about 13 on to what is verbal abuse, what is manipulation, what is control, and how to avoid it. I mean, that's the most important thing we could possibly do. And I really appreciate this gentleman for writing in about this issue or calling in. It's a horrible thing to teach men to be abusive. It's a free country and freedom of speech, but that's a hate crime. And actually, I think that this kind of a crime should be categorized as a hate crime, so people who teach the oppression of other people will be seen as will be convicted for hate crimes. That's something I would like to see happen in the courts, and that man should be arrested and convicted for a hate crime.
There is so many good questions here. This lady, we got 2 minutes. This lady says, please don't use my name. And she says, to you, it's just like what you said. It makes me feel crazy. I don't know what to feel. Depression because he's not here, but freedom because he's not here, and I don't have to listen to him. Loving him for no reason I can understand. Hating him for using my caring against me. He knows that whatever he wants to dish out, I'll take because I care for him and the kids. I want to leave. I want to stay. I need to leave. I just can't make myself do it. My counselor says I'm not ready to leave. I don't know how to get ready to leave. Is this what you teach people in your workshops? P.S. I find Dr. Laura's advice repugnant. Suck it up for the sake of the children is not my idea of a life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote a chapter in Controlling People called The Switch, because a woman called into Dr. Laura, I happen to have that on the radio for some strange reason, and said, my husband, after we got married, suddenly became very abusive. And that's because, of course, he projected into his partner and he could no longer see her or hear her. That's why a lot of battering takes place for the first time on the honeymoon. But Dr. Laura said, and what I heard Dr. Laura say was, don't tell me he switched on you. You were looking for that. So I certainly understand your feelings about what her advice is. And definitely, I think that getting videotape that he knows about and videotape that is, you know, all over the house and getting it all together so he knows he's being videotaped, and then I would put it on YouTube. And if you read my book, you could say, here's an example of a man telling his wife what she is as if he lived within her and knew as if he were a woman. You are, and you have all the things where he says you are and you think and you feel and all this, and say, you know, this man is a coward. He's afraid to stand on his own 2 feet and stay in his own body. He's over there in her telling her what she is, what she thinks, what she feels, and so forth. It's bizarre. And I think that the woman who's having trouble leaving really needs to get a lot of evidence together and has to, and would do well to read all four books for sure. Just no matter what you do in your life, just do that, because that is the first in the world in what this is. It's the first in the world in what's wrong with these people. It's the first in the world in
ways. We have to go. We're out of time.
All right.
Patricia Evans, thank you for being with us. Patricia Evans, EVANS.com, verbalabuse.com. We're right up to the hour. Thank you for sharing your time with us, audience. We realize that time is a most important commodity, one of the most important in your life. Safe journey until next week. Thank you, Patricia Evans.
Thank you.
We're
so much.
To invite you back.
Thank you so much. Thank you.